Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning. And it's that time of the week where we bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Well, I've, learned that valuable lesson. If you don't charge your phone overnight, it doesn't work sometimes.
That's okay. We've all learned that lesson before. I continue to learn it on almost a week-by-week basis. So that's something that I strive to get better at in my own personal life. What have you been up to over the weekend? How much more difficult is it to be filling time on the news covering sports with our current situation?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, look, what's happening in our country in the last 100 years is unprecedented. So, there's plenty to talk about. But as far as my day-to-day job goes, it was always Titans, Predators, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. There's always something to do, something to talk about. And you take that away, and my job is more challenging now. I've got to pivot in a different direction, and all my stories have pretty much be coronavirus, COVID-19 related. And so like last night, we don't have Sports Extra right now. Sports Extra is on hiatus for a while. And, we're doing stories about COVID-19. I did a story last night about a neighbor who is, she's an event planner, not an event planner, she's an event decor person and specializes in balloon setup. And she's got no events right now because of social distancing. And so she has been using her entire balloon inventory to decorate houses in the neighborhood to try and raise people's spirits. So, the challenge for me is finding stories in a different direction. I always say, and I'm sure Joe, you'll agree with this. We call ourselves sports reporters. We're news reporters. Our news is just about sports. And so I just have to find news about different topics. That's all.
Yeah. How are you guys? So obviously I know there's some going in, but obviously you guys are doing a lot of things remotely as well. I mean, how's that working out in terms of just the day to day of this?
Well, I mean, they're trying to keep as many people out of the building as they can. So there are I haven't been in the station in a week now, so I can't tell you exactly how many people are in there, but I can tell you this. It's not many. We have as few in there as possible. We have virtually all of our reporters working from home. We have a handful of anchors, working in the building because, we have to plan for every scenario, and one of those scenarios is when somebody in our building tests positive and we have to clean the building and can't be in there. And so we've got, people all working from home, and it is challenging, because there's only so many cameras and so many laptops to go around. I'm working with my laptop at home and with my iPhone. And so, thankfully technology allows us to do these things. If this was 20, 30 years ago, the challenge would be entirely different, but technology now is much more compatible for doing what we need to do.
Corey, we've been talking about Jadeveon Clowney, obviously still unsigned, and there have been reports out there he's asking for $20 million, and teams haven't been willing to come near that number at this point, the injury history that's there as well. And you're not able to get a physical from him in person right now. I mean, there's a whole lot of things going on and surrounding the Jadeveon Clowney situation. If you're the Titans, what's kind of the number that you're comfortable going to when you factor in all of those things and the sack numbers that have been there as well?
Well, look, I like Jadeveon Clowney. I think he would be a good addition to the Tennessee Titans. And I'm sure Jadeveon Clowney likes Jadeveon Clowney. But he is not a $20 million player. I mean, there's nothing in his statistical background that says he is a $20 million a year player at this point. So I wouldn't, if somebody else wants to give him $20 million, high five, go for it, give it to him. I struggle to think that he's, sometimes it's hard to catch up with the numbers mentally, emotionally, and how quickly they've gone up at certain positions. I would say if, what is Dante Fowler, like $16 million a year?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, so if Dante Fowler is a $16 million a year player, then I'd probably be more comfortable being around $16 million. But I don't know that I could go much higher than that.
Well, let's say it doesn't work out for whatever reason. It's really interesting to see Clowney just sort of sitting there and apparently see the price dropping on him. But let's say it just isn't going to work out. First of all, are you concerned about where the Titans are in their front seven? You know, it's not like Austin Johnson is a great player here.
I am.
There you go. Yeah. Go with it. How concerned are you?
No, I'm very concerned. I mean, look, Jarrell Casey was a great football player, or is a great football player. And when you look at the Titans' run defense, it has been among the top 10 in the NFL pretty much since Mike Mularkey took over, when they had Dick LeBeau and now they had Dean Pease. Their run defense was always among the best in the league. And now you don't have Jarrell Casey, who perennially played the game about 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And then you've lost Austin Johnson, who I know people don't like because he didn't get sack numbers, but was a quality depth run defender for that team. He was a big anchor who could play snaps for that team and defend the run. Now, we know teams are defending the pass 60 to 70% of the time, so I know that cut down on his snaps. But when it came to shutting down the run, 94 was not a bad body to have on the field. And now you don't have 99 or 94, and you haven't replaced them with anybody. The only replacement you've come up in the pass rush is Vic Beasley, who's kind of an enigma. He's kind of a roll of the dice right now, and he's on a one-year deal. So it says to me, either they've got a plan for who's coming in on the defensive line, or they're drafting somebody. Because right now, what they have on the defensive line is not enough.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. And Corey, obviously Ryan Tannehill has gotten his new deal. But there are still some people out there that are going to look at Tannehill, whether it's locally or from a national standpoint, and say, you know what? Yeah, that was a nice 13-game stretch that he put together with the Titans, but it was just a fluke. What does Tannehill need to do to convince people that, number one, it wasn't a fluke, and to justify the new contract this season, in your opinion?
Do it again? I mean, be better in critical situations, you know. I watched the replay of the Chiefs game, and the first Chiefs game when he came back and managed to win, you know, that football game, had a nice run and a nice throw to Adam Humphries to win that football game. But you know, those playoff numbers aren't going to go away. And it wasn't that he was terrible in the first two games; he didn't have to do much in those first two games. And then I always get back to the third game, when in the second half they needed him to carry the team and he couldn't do it, and so. You know, it wasn't like he was outstanding in that game and they lost, you know, despite it. And that, you know, that will leave people wanting. And then the other thing that will always get people, at least for people like me, is Joe Flacco. You know, Joe Flacco had a great year the year they won the Super Bowl. He has never been anything like that ever again. And so Ryan Tannehill has to prove that wasn't a Joe Flacco year for him. You know, when God, and you remember Jeff Blauser, guys?
Wow, that's a name.
That guy was the greatest contract year player in baseball history. Every year he was up for a contract year, his numbers were just through the roof. And then he would return to Jeff Blauser-like stats. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill can't be a Joe Flacco or a Jeff Blauser. He's got to prove that he's this guy every year and that he can take the Titans to the next level. Now, you know, the fair thing for me to say is, from what we've seen from him with this team and this offense with this coordinator, is it's a match and it works really well. But I think it's fair to question it because he has been around for a while, and we have, you know, he's flashed before, but to see that it's more than a flash and that it's going to be consistent, I think it's fair for people to wonder.
Who knew we'd have Jeff Blauser's shade on the show today? You know, you just never know where we're going to go.
That dude used to smoke heaters in his locker, like, all the time before the game.
When he's with the Cubs?
Yeah, Cubs and Braves.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
sit there and hammer them out.
Nice, nice. Well, I think, look, you make fair points. I think as time goes on with that playoff run last year, because I've heard this from people, I think especially who didn't watch him during the regular season, like, well, he did nothing in the playoffs. Well, I mean, to me, he still had to make a couple critical throws late in the New England game and a red zone throw for a touchdown. He had one really bad throw too. And, you know, in the Baltimore game, to help build that late lead, he made some big throws. I mean, I just never that he was – like, I never felt like the Titans were hiding him in either of those games, you know? It's just, it worked out. You know,
they weren't hiding him, and he did make a couple of big throws. But you don't feel like – they didn't win those games because of him. I mean, he didn't carry them to victory in those games. Now, didn't have to. He didn't have to. So it's kind of unfair to lay that on him because he didn't have to, because all he had to do was hand it to 22 and watch him rip through everybody. And that's not his fault. You know, so you can't really be blamed, but, you know, it's people, you know, you give him the money, people are going to want the game in his hands, and now can he do it? And we have to wait and see. Look, he was great last year for the Tennessee Titans to get them to the playoffs. There is no doubt about that. But, you know, if you're asking if it's fair, if people are going to question that kind of going into next season, you know, yeah, there is some room for it to be fair. But it's also fair to say, hey, this guy was really good. He earned his money. He earned his team's trust, and that's what's really important is, you know, I think Stillman asked me on Friday, you know, do I believe that Ryan Tannehill can take the Titans to the Super Bowl? And I said, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what the Titans think, and the Titans clearly think he can take them to the Super Bowl. That's the most important thing.
Corey, I look at the secondary right now, and obviously, you know, Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, who knows what's going to happen with Logan Ryan and what needs they address in the draft as well. But I want to ask you about Jackson specifically, because I think once he came back from injury last year, we saw how important having him in the lineup was. But I look at him just purely from an athletic standpoint, and I still think there's probably another level for him to get to in terms of his on-the-field production. How do you evaluate Adoree Jackson and where he is in his career right now?
Yeah, no, it's tough. You're right, because you always feel like there's a little bit more there with him. And you feel like, you know, there's a maturity process for him that he has to go through to get to be a more consistent football player. Because when he's playing well, he's a good player, and he makes them a better defense because he does have a lot of athletic ability. But when he gets in his own head, you know, it can be a little dicey at times. And so, you know, I don't know if that's just a mental maturation for them, but, you know, again, these are hard decisions. I don't know what the franchise or what the fifth-year option is for him, but I'll tell you what, it would be tough to lose two first-round picks in 1 year if they don't pick it up.
Yeah, and no, I agree. And I think he could have his best football ahead of him, too. I mean, we'll see,
yeah. But
– you know, I really
would think so.
I think some of last year was almost like a little bit of a glimpse of appreciation for him with him not in and in the lineup, and you see the difference. But we'll see on that. At running back, obviously, we're waiting to see, you know, if the Titans at some point do come to an agreement with Derrick Henry. In the meantime, you know, they're going to have to find, obviously, a backup / third down guy. Is there anyone you like out there? And do you think a guy like Keyshawn Vaughn would be, a good fit here?
Oh, I love Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, I've been watching Keyshawn Vaughn since he was like a sophomore in high school, and I thought he should have come out after his junior year at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
I mean, he really should. And look, he knows what's most important for him. He wanted to get his degree and do all that, and if that's the most important thing, for good for him. But for football-wise, I thought he was ready. And if the Titans, you know, decide to wait to get Keyshawn Vaughn in round, you know, 4 or 5 or 3 or wherever he is going to go, I would have no problem with that pick. But I think there are a bunch of guys that can help them. I'm much more for them drafting the guy to back up Derrick Henry than I am going out in free agency and overspending or reaching on an aging player like Theo Riddick or something. Excuse me. But yeah, there are some other guys out there. I mean, Akers out of Florida State, you know, might be a round 2 guy that would be good. There's a couple of them, you know, that are out there. There's a lot of depth at that position. You just got to find the right match for what you want to do. I don't think it can just be a pure pass catcher. They need to have a guy who can be a 3-down guy, but that right now they can accentuate on third downs for Derrick Henry. And I think Akers from Florida State and the kid from LSU, Hilaire, he's obviously a good one, but he might be a first-round pick as well. But I think there'll be somebody there around 2 or 3 or 4 that will fit the bill for them. And And I would love to see Keyshawn Vaughn in two-tone blue.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Corey, thanks so much, man, as always, for taking time to join us this morning. We appreciate it.
Sorry about the battery, guys, but you got some extra time with me.
That's right.
We love you. We just wanted the extra time with you. Thank you. We appreciate
you. That's what
you. I thought.
Yeah, all right. Talk
to you later. All right. See you, Corey. Joe, when we come back, I want to get into the Ryan Tannehill discussion a little bit. What's he going to have to do in year two with the Titans to convince people that last season wasn't a fluke? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.